Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are in the portion of scripture, the last few verses, and we are going to be looking at verse 16 and 17 today. We kind of started looking at this portion of scripture last week, as I had mentioned that this is going to be kind of a two-part teaching, as we were looking at verse 15 last week and what the scripture means. And we kind of went through the Old Testament. That Old Testament is where the salvation is. Old Testament is what leads you to salvation, but the salvation is in the Christ, right? Verse 15, it says, in that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and that word Holy Scripture literally means Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And the Word of God is what our focus is today. As we read verse 16, it says all scripture. And that's why last week I kind of gave you a background. What is scripture? What is scripture, right? And one of the things that I had repeated over and over again is this was a spoken word, God mouth, okay? God spoke through his mouth. God spoke to the prophet. All the references that I have put in the screen share speaks to us how these prophets received the word of God. And those of you who are mature Christians, those who know what is going on in the world and so forth, you know the Satan, from a very beginning, started to attack the word of God, right? He said to Eve in that Genesis chapter 3, has God said that, right? And that's the start of the doubt. That's where the sin comes in. Anytime Satan can get us to doubt the word of God, he has won half the battle. And thus, as we discuss so often, those three chapters, the first three chapters in the book of Genesis, are under constant attack, because if somehow, some way, Satan can remove those three chapters from the scripture, if he can create doubt on those first three chapters, then the rest of the Bible kind of becomes useless. I would say that if we remove the first three words of Genesis, where it says in the beginning, the rest of the Bible kind of falls apart, because the whole thing starts in the book of Genesis, right? On those first three chapters. If there is no sin, we don't need a savior. And so it has always been a Satan's effort to undo or undermine the word of God. And thus, I'm spending as much time as we are spending in this portion of a scripture, right? It's as the Psalm 119 says, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Our life is guided by the word. Our spiritual house is built on the foundation of the word. And so it is important that we understand what the scripture means, okay? And so we're going to continue from where we kind of left off last time and see what God says to us through his word. Again, I want to remind you, verse 16 says, all scripture, okay? So Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first two verses. If you choose, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. Again, you see that reference over there, spoke. This is not something that there was an idea, okay, or God gave a general idea, and then the man who wrote the book kind of picked it up from that. No, it says, in a various ways spoke in time past. That's Old Testament. To the fathers by the prophets, that's the Old Testament. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. In these last days, meaning from the time of Jesus, that means the New Testament, he has spoken to us by his Son. So when we say all scripture, it's an amazing thing about the word all in Greek. When you really look at, and you have to do some digging and you, do your study, and what you will find is that word all in Greek means all. Okay, it means all. That's what all scripture, that means from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, right? All the way unto Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Yes, even those things that we find little tedious when we look at those genealogies and when you are going through the book of Leviticus, and I hope those of you who are listening to the Leviticus, I pray that you are finding a new respect for all those laws and all those commandments that are given in Leviticus. So even all of those things are inspiration of God. We must remember that. There is nothing in the Bible, there is nothing in those 66 books is there by accident, okay? God has a purpose for every word that is written in that book. There's a reason why it is there. Now, we may not know the reason all the time, okay? We may not understand why certain things are included in the Bible. In our understanding, in our knowledge, we say, hey, we can do away with this book. We don't really need it now. Or we can do away with this chapter. But God has included it in his perfect knowledge. And if it is included, that means it's beneficial for us. It's beneficial for us. And so, it's not just that the Old Testament was the scripture. It's not just that the New Testament is the scripture. It's not that just the words that Jesus spoke are the scripture. All 66 books, all verses are scripture. Look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Okay, 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 20 and 21, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy, and here the word prophecy is not meant as something that is predicting something in the future. Prophecy just means a message, okay? No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, this is very important for us to understand because it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It doesn't say all who wrote scripture were inspired by God. It says scripture is inspired, not the man. Right? We often say when we see like a great writer or a great musician, they were inspired by this to write a certain piece of music or certain piece of literature. Okay, that's not what this verse is saying. What is being said over here is the scripture itself is inspired, not the man who wrote it. Right? So no message, no scripture comes out of any human source. Okay, when you think of all the people who have wrote, you look at Isaiah and you look at all the Psalms with David and you look at all the epistles with Paul and Peter and all the other prophets that we have, all those men, there was nothing special in them. It wasn't that they had some kind of a higher understanding of God. It wasn't that they were intellectually higher than rest of the people or rest of the society they lived in, and somehow they received this knowledge and they put it into writing. No, that's not what this means, right? They were as it is often said, they were men like you and me, who walked in obedience, and God put the word into their mouth and they penned it. We must understand this, okay? Because I'll tell you this, if there were some great writers, there is no other writings that is written by any of them. There is no writing. You will not find another book from Paul that he said he wrote another book somewhere, or Isaiah wrote another religious book somewhere. The only time they wrote is when they wrote scripture, which was spoken by God, was given to them by God, right? It's not like a pastor today who writes 5, 6, 10 books, expending on the scripture or whatever they wanna teach or whatever they want to share with their audience. This is when Isaiah wrote, he wrote the book of Isaiah, and that's it. When Paul wrote, he wrote the epistles, and that's it. So we must understand that the word is inspired, not the men who wrote them. We know that about 40 different men over 1,500 years, they compiled the Bible, what we call Bible today, the 66 books. And I'm not, I know I'm speaking to a choir. All of you know and bow down to the authority of the scripture. So I'm not going to expand much more, but it's important that we understand. So God, through the prophets in old days and now, spoke the word, right? Sometimes that means through vision, through prophecy, through parable, okay? There was theophany. We even know that he wrote with his own finger the scripture. And this is important for us to remember. Now I want to show you something. Romans chapter 9:17. Romans chapter 9:17. So we understand that scripture equals to God speaking. Okay, scripture means God speaking. And we must, I know I'm harping on this point, but we must remember that. We must remember that, okay? Romans chapter 9:17 says, "For the scripture says to the Pharaoh," it doesn't say scripture says to us, or it's written in the scripture. Specifically, it says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth." This is what Romans chapter 9 verse 17 says. Okay, now let me take you to that portion of scripture. Turn with me to Exodus, and I believe it's in chapter 9. Hold on, Exodus chapter 9. Is it in Exodus chapter 9? It has to be in Exodus chapter 9. Okay, verse 13. Look at Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. Okay? It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," who said to the Moses? Lord, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him," okay, so now Moses is going to say this to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews." Who is speaking? I think it's pretty clear. It's the Lord God of the Hebrews who is speaking to Pharaoh. Okay, and you can fast forward a little bit, and I'm going to read verse 16. Okay, and this is what the God said to Pharaoh. "But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." Exactly what we read in Romans chapter 9:17. In Romans 9:17, it says, the scripture says to Pharaoh. In Exodus, it says God says that to Pharaoh. So scripture is equivalent to God. It is God speaking to us. You know, so often we say, you know what? I wish I lived in Old Testament time. I wish when God spoke to Noah and God spoke to Abraham. But now we have a complete canon of scripture. God can speak to you whenever you want to hear from him. All you need to do is open up the scripture. Okay, open up the scripture, and God is there speaking to you. And there is no replacement for that. The word The word over here, if you look at the word inspiration, it literally means God breathed into them. Okay, breathing has a two-step process, right? You breathe in and you breathe out. The word literally says he breathed out. That's what it means in Greek. It was more than dictation. They weren't just listening to some voice and writing mechanically every word. It was flowing through their heart, okay? It was the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said to the disciples, I will bring this thing to your remembrance. That, therefore, every word of this book is the word of God. Now, there is a second thing that I want to address here, okay? There are some people, and I'm sure you have met them, what they will say is, hey, we cannot take Bible literally. Or they will say, yes, the Bible is inspired, but only concepts. You cannot just take every word and say, the God has breathed that word. And that's something we need to be very aware of, okay? Because, once again, when you go down that rabbit trail, you are again becoming the judge of the word. Because now, how are you going to decide that this, should I believe this word or should I not believe this word? Right? Because basically they'll tell you, don't worry about the words. That's just details that get in the way. It says the spirit gives life, the letter kills. And that those are the kind of things they will say to you. But we must remember, it is not just concepts, okay? God actually gave them what needed to be said. Let me remind you of Moses. When Moses complained to God, right? He was reluctant to go and do what God had asked him to do. He was hesitant. He was like, no, I can't go. I can't speak. Did God say, don't worry about it. I'm going to put the ideas into your mind and then you voice them how you want? Or did he say, I'm going to tell you exactly what to say. Exactly what to say. So it's not, Bible is not just a concept. It's not an idea. It's not that, okay, these things were relevant at that time. They are no longer relevant anymore. Okay? This book, this word is alive. It is as relevant today as it was in the day it was written. And it will be as relevant until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom. As the word says, you can't take anything away or you cannot add anything to this word. Again, I want to give you another verse that shows you that both Old Testament and the New Testament are both scriptures, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18 says this, for the scripture says, and you read this very often, either the Lord has said it or the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. That's an Old Testament truth, okay? So it says, for the scripture says, and then it quotes, Paul quotes an Old Testament text. And then he says, and laborer is worthy of his wages. That's a New Testament text. That's Matthew chapter 10:10. That's Jesus speaking. He says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. You see, Old Testament, New Testament. Another thing I want to tell you, because often it is said that some of the epistles are not scripture, but look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. It says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. And Peter here is speaking of Paul, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You see? And this has been the problem from the day one. Peter is saying this, right? In the early, in the infancy of a church. that there were already people who were twisting the word, right? Twisting the scripture so they can, you know, they can undo the work of God. And that is no different than what we see today in our day and age, right? When you look at a Mormon church, you look at Jehovah's Witness, you look at all those cults, they have to add something to the scripture. So whenever you find people adding things or taking things away, somehow saying that this book is not complete, you have a false teaching. You have a false teaching. And there is a reason why this is being introduced. As we will open up the next chapter next week, you will see why I am putting so much emphasis on this. Okay, remember, as we opened up this chapter, we are talking about end times. We are talking about perilous time. We are talking about evil growing. What is the reason for that? Because there is the famine of the word, as it says in Amos. There is a famine in the of the word. Right, the word today has been compromised. And as I was looking at this, Bible study, preparing for this Bible study, I wanted to give you a couple of numbers, and they will be shocking to you. And these are dated too. Okay, these are like 20, 30 year old numbers. Okay, there was a man named Jeffrey Hayden. He surveyed 10,000 clergymen. Okay, out of them, about 7,500 of them replied. This is clergymen, okay? The question he asked them were questions like this. For example, do you accept Jesus' physical resurrection as a fact? 51% of Methodists said no. 35% of Presbyterians said no. 30% of Episcopalians said no. And 33% of American Baptists said no. Think about that. Think about that numbers. I have one which is more recent, okay? According to 2022 research for the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, these are, again, pastors we are talking about, not just Christians or churchgoers. These are men who are teaching, the men who are on the pulpit, okay? Look what it says. Only 37% of U.S. Christian pastors have a biblical worldview, while 41% of senior pastors hold a biblical worldview, okay? Only 13%, that means 87% of the pastors, and which pastors? Teaching pastors. And 4% of executive pastors do. That means those pastors who are teaching the word of God, who are supposed to defend the faith, who are supposed to give you the doctrine, 87% of them do not have a biblical worldview. It even gets worse when you look at those who teach Sunday school, those who teach youth groups, 88% of them do not have a biblical worldview or the Christian worldview. Now, from a very young age, when we see in our schools, when we see how our children are under attack, where they are supposed to be getting truth from the church, those who are teaching our children in a Sunday school do not believe completely the word that they are teaching. Just to give you a definition of what a biblical view is, according to the survey, the study defines this as a worldview that, among other things, believes humans are born into sin, require salvation through Jesus Christ, and consider the Bible to be the infallible word of God. This is the worldview. Now, 88%, 87% of the teaching pastors do not hold this view that we are sinner and we need we require a savior. Do you see why in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says all scripture is governed by inspiration of God? Satan has somehow convinced those in the church that you don't need this word. But this word is the light unto our path. Okay, this is the word that's the power. Please read, and I don't have time. I was planning to read that, Psalm 119. Start reading from like verse 97 all the way to 105. Read over there what the word says. Hey, sit down and read whole Psalm 119 and see how much it says about the word of God. Right? This is something that we must understand and we must stand against. This is why I am so adamant about telling you, are you worshiping at the right place? Is your church compromising the word of God? Because when the word of God fails, this is how God has spoken to us. When the pulpit is weak, then the whole structure is going to fall apart. As we discussed last time, if the foundation is not good, the rest is going to fall apart right away. Right? Doesn't matter how strong your walls are. Doesn't matter how beautiful your house is and how big it is. Okay? Or it doesn't matter. You can make the walls out of steel. Or nothing can penetrate my walls. But if your foundation is not good, that house is weak. And this is where the attack is. The attack is at the pulpit where the word of God is being taught. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable means what? Right? If you're in a business, you want to have a profit, something that's beneficial, something that brings something, adds something to your life. And that's why, as the famous saying goes, right? If you are away from the word for a week, you become very weak. If Satan is successful in keeping you away from the word of God, he has you. He has you. That is why this is the book that has been under attack. There has been a numerous attempts made to completely destroy Bible. Why? Nobody's trying to destroy Quran. Okay? Nobody's trying to destroy any other religious book. But there have been people, men throughout the centuries who have tried to destroy the Bible because there is a power in this word. There's power in this word. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means the content of teaching. It means the right principles. It's the right things to teach. In a very simple word, if I were to say, it's what is right. Okay? This is not teaching itself. It's like which textbook you are learning from. Right? If you have a wrong textbook, doesn't matter because you are understanding wrong things. This is the right doctrine, profitable for doctrine, the one that comes from the Bible. This is the word that you can trust. Then it says for reproof, meaning what is not right. Because when you have the right information, now you understand what needs to be corrected. Okay, you know this is wrong. That's why, when you read Bible, and sometimes you don't want to read Bible because it makes you uncomfortable, right? Sometimes Bible makes you uncomfortable because you're like, hey, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to read about this because it addresses things in your life that needs to be rebuked, right? There is a rebuke coming from the scripture. And you know when if you are alone with the scripture and you are reading the scripture, there is no place to hide, right? There is no place to hide because you know exactly who you are. You know exactly who you are and you know what correction you need. If you have been backslidden, if you are engaged in some kind of activity that you shouldn't be doing and the scripture calls that out, right? If there is some kind of animosity in your heart and that's the portion of scripture you are reading, God is going to kind of say, hey, listen, you need to get this relationship right with your brother, right? If there is bitterness, if there is envy, if there is pride, how much scripture is there in the Bible about pride and dealing with pride? Right, so if you are a prideful person and you're reading Bible, that's a reproof. Bible is trying to tell you, you need to change your way. Then it says for correction. So Bible just doesn't show you that this needs to be corrected. Bible shows you how to do it. Right, it's not simply that God is going to tell you, hey, you need to deal with your bitter heart or you need to deal with your pride. Bible shows you how to do it. If you do this, right, Look at Proverbs. My son, if you walk this way, there is this blessing. If you walk this way, there is this harm coming to you. Throughout the scripture, we have instruction. It's not just, right? It's, if you go to the doctor and says, if you have a cancer, what use is that doctor? Or whatever that sickness is. You want answers. Anybody can give you the questions. Anybody can tell you what the problem is. Bible gives you the answer that this is how you correct it. This is how you can live a godly life. And then he says, for instruction in righteousness, meaning how to continue on that path, how to be sanctified. It's not just that just you correct it, okay? That you continue to grow being right with God. This is the power of scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration. Doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then look what it says as we end this Bible study, that the man of God may be complete. Thoroughly. Some of your translation might say perfect, right? And this is not talking about a sinless person, because that is not achievable by us. We are covered by the blood of Christ. But what it does say is, when it says maybe complete, is the plan that God has for you, where how God wants to see you, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. It's not, you know, you are not complete just so you can boast. You are thoroughly equipped, meaning that God is preparing you for the work that he has for you, how God is going to use you for his glory. He's equipping you. You are being completed. You are being equipped to do the work that God has set for you, to fulfill the great commission wherever God chooses to use you for every good work. This is the purpose of this word. This is the purpose of scripture, is to make you complete, and it equips you, right? It equips you. On that day in a book of Acts, when Peter got up, right, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and 3,000 turned, that's because he was equipped by God to do what he needed to do. As him and John walked into the temple and there is a man who's lame sitting there begging, he says, "We gold or silver we do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, we can have you walk." And they performed that miracle. It was nothing in them that did that. It was this equipping. It is this work that was completed in their life that brought that blessing for them. And we know how God used those 12, or at least 11 of them, who were very uneducated, not learned men, as it says in Acts chapter 4, how God used them for his purposes, for his glory, and you know how they changed the world. This is the power of scripture. This is the power of scripture. And I have, in these two Bible studies, I have just scratched the surface of what the Word of God means. You know, perhaps we'll do a whole series of teaching on the Word of God at some point. But it's important to remember that scripture is inspired, not the man who wrote it. And so today, you know, there are some of you who need to learn the right doctrine. There are some of you who have been taught a wrong doctrine. You are sitting at the wrong place learning, and you are just saying, "I'm going to church. That's all that matters." No, it matters that you understand and you learn the right doctrine. There are some of us, then we need to reproof. We need reproof in our life, because there are things that are in our heart. There are things in our lives that God is saying, you need to correct this. And then some of us need to follow that correction, because God has already been speaking to us what needs to change, what needs to change in your life, what needs to change in your marriage, what needs to change in your relationship with Christ. Okay, what you need to do. Now it's time to correct those things. Okay, and then there are some of us who needs to continue in this instruction and work toward that completeness and do the work that God has set forth for us. I hope and pray that God has spoken to you today. Oh, Father, I come to you, Lord, and I just pray. Thank you for your scripture, Lord. Thank you for that God-breathed word, your love letter to us, Lord. Lord, help us not to go even a day without spending some time with you alone in that word. Speak to us through your word, Lord. And Lord, as we close this meeting, I submit each and every person into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. It looks like.